I'm on the Global Mission Prayer Network prayer line once again tonight, and we're continuing our teaching on this series about ministry gifts or spiritual gifts for ministry. And we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about how gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from our own giftings, our own talents, things like that. And how a spiritual gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift not to the one who is operating in it. For instance, if I'm praying for someone and the gift of healing begins to operate through me, that's not a gift to me. That gift of healing is to the person who's receiving the healing. And it comes through me, but I have really nothing to do with it. It's completely the Holy Spirit operating, and He's doing something supernatural. He's doing something no human being could possibly do. That's a spiritual gift, and those gifts are for ministry. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 7. And we're going to kind of skip through a little verses 8, 9, and 10. Now, I know that I've been promising for the last two sessions, we're going to get to the listing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we're going to do tonight, and we're going to start here, okay? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul is writing, and he says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." We want to understand that these spiritual gifts are to do good for an individual or for a group of individuals. And then he goes on and he lists nine gifts. He talks about, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And he uses that same method going down through all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back to those in detail in a minute. But what I want you to see is how I think we've misinterpreted this verse up to now, because when he says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom," we think, oh, that's a gift given to the person who is giving the word of wisdom. No, the gift is to the person who's receiving the word of wisdom. The gift is the wisdom that they are receiving. And so we're going to look at it from that perspective. And in that light, we're going to see how these spiritual gifts are used for us to minister. If you look at it in that light, you'll see that that's what he's talking about. Now, the only exception that I think to what I've been talking about spiritual gifts, how they are temporary, they are for a specific purpose at a specific time. They come as the Holy Spirit wants to do something specific right then. And then once he's finished that, that gifting leaves and we're waiting for the next time that he wants to move. The only exception, I think, is our own personal prayer language. When we're speaking in tongues just between us and God, this is not the public use of tongues, which is talked about in verse 10 here of 2 Corinthians 12. And that needs to have public interpretation to go along with it. But I don't think that's true for our prayer language. When we speak in tongues privately, that's for our edification. It's to praise God, for Him to pray perfect prayers through us. And I think that's available to us all the time. So we're going to go through the list of the gifts, and I want you to watch that the gifts can be divided into two categories. First, and by the way, I'm going to list a bunch of gifts, more than these nine, and I'm sure it's not an exhaustive list, but at least it's enough to get you started thinking, okay? So there are going to be basically two categories of gifts. One is what I'm going to call the prophetic gifts. That doesn't just mean prophecy. It means the gifts that are about communications. You need to communicate something to someone, and so you might do that with words, pictures, knowledge, wisdom, visions, dream interpretations, that sort of thing. So if I talk about the prophetic, I'm not necessarily talking about the gift of prophecy, but I am talking about this broad category of communication gifts. The other category of gifts, I think, is miracles. And these are gifts that involve something supernatural happening, like healings. And we're going to talk about the five kinds of healings when we get to Boston. gifts of multiplication, finding things, controlling the weather. Those are miracle gifts. And Deborah and I have operated in every one of these gifts many, many times. And you too can operate in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit anytime the Holy Spirit chooses and wants to use you. So keep listening so you can hear how to do that. Matter of fact, in Boston, in a few days, we're going to be talking about how to hear from the Holy Spirit and how to operate in the prophetic gifts, and going to talk about healing. You're going to get a chance to do all of that. Let's start listing the gifts in a, what most people would think is a strange place, and that's the gift of intercessions, supplications, and prayers. At least that's what I call it, and I think it's a prophetic gift. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, Paul is talking here about our armor that we use as a defensive mechanism against spiritual warfare. And at the end of that segment, he says this, Ephesians 6 and 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. I think that Paul is talking about this spiritual gift of intercession, spiritual gift of supplications, prayer. And these spiritual gifts operate through us so that we can pray effectively. These are very important gifts for those that are going to be prayer ministers, because when you pray for someone, you really need to allow the Lord to pray through you so that you can know that you're praying exactly the will of God for that person. But it's also important that the person that you're praying for hear the prayer that God has for them, so that they will then know what God's intention is in their situation. I can't tell you how many times I've operated in this gift. I've prayed a very specific prayer for someone, and then a week later, a month later, they call. I've had them travel across a country to come find me to tell me, you remember that prayer that you prayed? God answered that prayer exactly the way you prayed it. Well, that was because this was this spiritual gift in operation. It wasn't me praying the prayer. It was the Holy Spirit gifting that prayer to this person. This is such a powerful gift for us to use when we minister to people, but it's also a powerful gift for just intercessors in general. Even when you're not praying for someone in specific, you're not in the presence of someone that you're praying for right then. Now, are all supplications and all prayers spiritual gifts? No. I mean, we have our minds, we pray according to what we know, we have our own abilities, we know how to pray, we pray like that. But when intercessory prayer happens as a spiritual gift, then your knowledge, your abilities are bypassed, because the Holy Spirit is going to do something miraculous. He's going to do something powerful in the Spirit that you could never do. I've watched God literally save lives by showing an intercessor how to pray. Let me give you an example of that. My mother one afternoon was going about her business, and all of a sudden she saw a picture of fire in her mind. And it seemed to be related to my brother Dave. And so she realized, oh, this is God calling me to prayer. And sure enough, that burden, that intercessory prayer, gift of supplications, whatever you want to call it, came on her. And she prayed in the Spirit very intensely for about 2 minutes. And then it lifted. And she quit praying, went about her business, knew that Dave was going to be okay. Well, Dave came home a few hours later, and it took her a while to tease this out of him. She finally discovered that he and some friends were down at a fishing cabin, and the propane tank in the fishing cabin blew up, caught the place on fire, and they had to jump out the window, windows of the fishing cabin, as the place was burning down. But he got home, and he was okay. Well, he was okay because of this spiritual gift of intercessions, supplications, and prayers. Okay, next set of gifts I want to talk about is dreams, visions, interpretations of dreams and visions. Turn to Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, one of the latter part of the minor prophets, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Let me suggest that you write these verses down so you can go back to them later. Even if you can't find them right now and follow with me, that's okay. Make sure you can study these later. It's important. Joel 2:28 says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions." He's talking about the time on the day of Pentecost when the disciples received the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. They began to prophesy. They began to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Joel is talking about this time, the time that we live in now. It began at Pentecost. It's continued to now. It's a time when everybody can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving through them at any time. Anyone and everyone can do this. Now, some of the spiritual gifts you might expect to operate in a spirit-filled believer are what Joel was talking about here, like gifts of dreams and visions. In its simplest forms, I think, anyway, visions happen when you're awake. And spiritual dreams are just visions that happen to occur when you're asleep. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. This is a great story. We won't go through the whole story. I just want to kind of get to the punchline here. Remember, the king has a dream. Nobody can interpret the dream. The king says, "I'm not even going to tell you what the dream was because I want to make sure that your interpretation is from God." And so in Daniel 2, 19 says, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision." So this is a vision that interprets a dream, right? Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and praises the Lord and goes and tells the king, and you know the rest of the story. So interpretation of dreams can be a spiritual gift. Now, is every dream from the devil or from the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. But dreams can be spiritual dreams from the Holy Spirit, and nightmares can be the disturbing of our sleep from demonic entities. Now, the Lord regularly disturbs my sleep. He wakes me up so I can pray for someone or something, or maybe He gives me a prophetic word that's for a person or for a group of folks. Through a dream, I once warned a young person that they were doing something. The Lord didn't show me what they were doing, but He said, if they don't stop doing something, they're going to go to jail. When I gave them that word, this is from a dream that He'd given me. When I gave them that, they stopped doing it. I still don't know what it was, but they didn't go to jail. There was another young person not long after that. I had a warning dream for them. I told them about this warning dream. They didn't listen. And I can tell you, bad things happened to them. Visions, dreams, interpretations of dreams can be spiritual gifts. There's another gift that most folks wouldn't think about, and I think it's a really important gift, and I call it the gift of mercy and compassion. Now, this falls into the category not of the prophetic, but I think it falls in the category of the miraculous. Turn to Matthew 9, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 36, Matthew 9, 36. "Seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd." Actually, it's fairly common for gospel writers to note that Jesus felt compassion. We're naturally compassionate people. Well, most of us anyway. But here I'm not talking about natural feelings of compassion. I'm talking about the spiritual gift of compassion and mercy. And it's an outpouring into your heart of the emotions that the Holy Spirit is feeling at the time. There have been many times in prayer ministry when this spiritual gift of compassion came on me, and I'm telling you, I could hardly talk. I could hardly remain standing. It was so powerful. His love and compassion for us is just more than we can bear. And when this gift begins to operate through me, if I'm praying for a man, I can give him a big hug and I can hold him and tell him how much Jesus loves him and express that feeling of love that I have. If I'm praying for a woman, I have to go get a woman to come and hug her and let her feel that this emotion that the Lord has for them. One of the ways this gift works is to show you who he wants to pray for. When you look at someone or you think of someone and immediately you just feel overwhelming compassion for them, then that's this gift telling you, hey, let's go pray for that person and let God show his love to them by doing a miracle for them, miracle in their lives. This happened to me a couple of days ago. I was in a situation where there were some people at an altar rail, and I had the privilege of being able to pray for healing for some of them. And I'm telling you, as soon as I got up there, I looked at this one woman and I just immediately felt compassion for her. And so I knew I'm supposed to pray for her. And sure enough, God did some wonderful things through that. Okay. Next is the gift of spiritual gift of translation. We're not going to read it right now, but there's a story in Acts chapter 8. And if you look at verses 38 through 40, you see where Philip was taken up by the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that this has happened, I think, three times, at least twice, to me and Debbie. And I mean, we made a 45-minute trip in 20 minutes. We made a 50-mile trip in 15 minutes, and it was only 15 miles on the odometer. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the miracle gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. And we're going to go back to the nine gifts that Paul lists here. Let's see. How are we doing on time? Okay. He lists nine spiritual gifts. The first two gifts he talks about is the word of wisdom, and then the other is the word of knowledge. The difference between word of knowledge and word of wisdom is that the word of knowledge literally gives you some knowledge, a piece of data, a piece of information. It doesn't tell you what to do with it, but it lets you know something. Wisdom, on the other hand, essentially tells you what to do with the knowledge that you have. Let me see if I can tell this story quickly. I was recently in a service in Selma, Alabama, and we had a time when we could give prophetic words to people. And the Lord pointed out this young man to me, and I heard the Lord say, "Dragon Slayer." And I thought, wow, what's that about? And the Lord said, "He's a dragon slayer, and he's always going to prevail." And I thought, wow, this is a great word. I can hardly wait to give this kid this word. He was only about 10 years old. I kept thinking, Lord, you must mean this is for somebody else. But it wasn't. It was for this kid. And so finally, the Lord kind of tricked me. He only told me that first part of the word. So I go to this kid. I ask if his parents are there. And they are. I said, okay, well, remember this word, that he's a dragon slayer, he's going to prevail in everything. And then the Lord gave me the rest of the word. The part about dragon slayer was a word of knowledge. The rest of the word was a word of wisdom. And he said, you're going to go through some very difficult times in your life. You're going to face some dragons in your life, and it's going to look overwhelming. You're not going to think you're going to make it. But listen, God's telling you that you are going to make it. His promise to you is that you will prevail. So the Lord had to give him some wisdom about how to understand the word of knowledge that he'd received. Paul then next talks about the gift of faith. I think that that is a gift where you all of a sudden have faith to pray for someone, or someone you're ministering to all of a sudden has faith to believe God for healing. And I mean, when this gift of faith begins to operate, you know that you know that you know that you know that God is going to do a miracle. I think this is one of the miracle gifts. There was a woman one time that had come down to the altar for prayer. And even before that, during the service, the Lord pointed her out to me and said, hey, I want to heal her today. I thought, oh, good. And so when she came down for prayer, this gift of faith began to operate in me. And I just knew that I knew that I knew if I could pray for her, she'd be healed. And so I told her, word of knowledge, the Lord wants to heal you today. And I said, what is it that I can pray for? Oh, nothing. I'm okay. No. No, I know better than that. What shall I pray for you about? What does God want to heal you about? Well, she wouldn't tell me. Well, my wife came up beside me, and all of a sudden she whispers something to my wife, and then my wife whispers to me. She has a chronic urinary tract infection. Well, that's not very secret. That's okay. The Lord can heal it. And sure enough, she had had this for years and had been, most of the time, she had been in the middle of an infection, very few times of relief. And after we prayed for her, and I saw her the next day, she said, God has healed me. I saw her the next month. I saw her 3 months after that. And every time I see her, she wants to come up and say, I'm still healed. I'm still healed. Well, that's this gift of faith was in operation so she could be healed. Okay, now the next thing that Paul talks about here is, in my translation, it says to another, gifts of healing. But if you look at the literal translation, it's gift of healings, plural. I think there are five kinds of healing, and we're going to talk about this in detail in Boston next week, Sunday morning, I hope. One is spiritual healing. That's related to forgiveness and being able to forgive people or receive forgiveness on your part. Second kind of healing is physical healing, like this lady with urinary tract infection. Third kind of healing is emotional healing, where God heals our emotions, takes away trauma that we have suffered from and the effects of the trauma. The fourth kind is healing of memories, where God literally removes from our memories the destructive emotions that sometimes get stuck there. And the fifth kind of healing is deliverance healing, where we're healed from any kind of demonic activity, demonic sicknesses, demonic oppression, whatever it might be. Five kinds of healings. The next thing Paul talks about here is effecting of miracles. And that word effecting is a good thing. It's causing miracles to happen. Miracles of multiplication, miracles of finding things, miracles of weather control, miracles of pest control. I have watched God deliver things, objects, from one continent to another in an instant. I wish I had time to tell you this story. Find me and I'll tell you about it sometime. We've watched God heal an air conditioner. We had an air conditioner in a car that wasn't working. We couldn't afford to fix it. Debbie said, I'm going to pray for it. And every time I just couldn't believe that God was going to heal an air conditioner, okay? And so every time she got in the car, the air conditioner worked fine. Every time I got in the car, it didn't work. Well, eventually we got our faith together and it worked. Anyhow, we've watched God move weather systems out of the way, multiply food, multiply gasoline, multiply computer parts for building a computer, gift of miracles. Okay, now, the next he talks about is this gift of prophecy. And I want to make sure you understand the difference between prophecy and word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They all fit in this prophetic category, but the primary difference is how the word is delivered. Prophecy comes in the form of, thus saith the Lord. If I say, I hear the word abandoned, or I say, I see a picture of you as part of a worship team, those are words of knowledge. But if I say, the Lord says to you that he saw what happened to you and that he loves you more than you can imagine, and the Lord tells you that he's going to stay with you and see you through this, that is a word of prophecy. You see in the Old Testament that prophecy was always delivered that way. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, next is distinguishing or discerning of spirits. This is a special gift of knowledge. And it's related to, and so I put it in the prophetic category, it's related to spiritual beings. And this gift will tell you what kind of spirit you're dealing with, whether it's unclean or evil spirit. Maybe it's the spirit of God. Maybe it's a human spirit. And he's going to tell you what the spirit is. He'll give you knowledge and wisdom about how to deal with it and what to do. Let me give you a quick story about I wish I could tell you the story. I don't have time to tell you the story tonight about a woman being delivered from being tormented by an incubus spirit at night. It was awful. She couldn't get any sleep. It had gone on for months, but God delivered her through this word of knowledge about evil spirits, and she's been set free ever since. It's been wonderful. In Uganda recently, there were a lot of people that were under demonic oppression, and it was showing up in the form of symptoms around their body. And so they'd come and they'd say, well, my knees are hurting. And so you'd pray for their knees for about 10 seconds. Ah, my knees aren't hurting anymore, but my back's hurting now. And then you'd pray for their back. And oh, my back's well, but now I have a headache. And you'd realize, oh, okay, this is a spiritual thing. This is an evil spirit that's attacking them to make them sick. And so we'd pray a prayer of deliverance over them. But we would know that through this gift of discerning of spirits. When Paul talks about speaking in tongues, I believe there are two kinds of tongues. One is what's done in public. It's in a public service, and it always has the next gift that goes with it, and that's interpretation of tongues. But I believe that there is also speaking in tongues that is your personal prayer language. So, and I love speaking in tongues. I think it's the most wonderful thing to be able to pray in tongues when you're ministering to somebody, because you just know you're praying God's perfect prayer. Well, anyway, let me give you a warning about prophetic gifts, okay? Our human nature is to want a roadmap to our future. We want God to give us all the details so that we can follow the roadmap and we don't have to be seeking a closer walk with Him. You know, we don't have to be trying to hear from Him. We got the roadmap. And this is why people go to fortune tellers or to witch doctors or shamans. They want to know, will my boyfriend stay faithful to me? Should I move to Nashville? Which job should I take? Will I be a rock star? How do I become a rock star? You know, that's not how prophetic words are. Prophetic words can, in a moment of revelation, open our hearts and to see things that there's no other way we could have seen them. Or it'll be an invitation for us to seek God. What does that prophetic word really mean? Or it might be to confirm something to us that we've been thinking about, and the prophetic word confirms it. It might be to get you thinking about something that the Lord wants to do. Prophetic words never include enough detail so that you can proceed with a plan without seeking God or the input from the Holy Spirit. It's not a fortune teller. And so when you're giving people prophetic words, try to avoid specific details like dates, sex of babies, which job to take, that kind of thing. Okay? Well, there are probably more spiritual gifts, but we don't have time tonight to go through it. And so I'm going to stop there.